Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Oh, I mean, ultra-patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt. This is episode 22-18. And unbelievable, we're already halfway through May. This year is flying by. Hopefully you guys had a blessed and a safe week. And for those of you who participated in Saturday's, mobile training exercise with Ameron, that was a great time. The band conditions were horrible, but it added to the realism. The scenario-based exercise was based on a scenario of a massive solar flare that basically wipes out telecommunications, internet, and the power grid, and including about 4 or 5 days of HF radio blackout. And so we simulated that in the lead up, but then the day that we were supposed to do the exercise, or the day we actually did the exercise, we had actually had a CME, a coronal mass ejection, a lower scale, but enough to really make the HF radio bands very difficult to operate on. But we all learned a lot. We got more familiar with our equipment, worked bugs out, and got to get out there in the field and set up communications, tear it down, move, set it up again, make contact, receive instructions, and send in a report, and then pack up, move, and do it again. And it was just it was a great time. So thank you to all of you who participated. If you haven't seen it yet, go to Ameron.com. And find the survey for those of you who participated. Fill that out and send it in to johnjacob@ameron.com. And we're going to compile those over the next week or later at the end of the week, because I put a deadline out there for a Wednesday evening. Get them in by Wednesday night this coming week. And we'll compile all of the lessons learned and observations and feedback and share that with everyone so we can kind of learn from each other's experiences. So check that out. Now, tonight, I am, after the news and commentary, in segment two, I'm going to talk about the mass shooting situation, something you may not have heard anywhere else about possible, I wouldn't say motive, well, possible motives for the Buffalo shooting, and something for our situational awareness about a trend that we could see here in the United States based on intelligence analysts and what they're predicting. In fact, an article came out that I'm going to share with you, came out about the same day as the shooting in Buffalo, New York. So I'm going to talk about that, and in segment three, I want to talk about this latest Windows 11 warning that's going around and telling folks that you won't even own your own computer anymore. Bill Gates will own it, and it'll be completely unsecure and no control over the system and full of security issues. Which to a certain degree is actually true, and that's why I've been a strong proponent of Linux. I'm going to talk about the Linux operating system and point you to a resource that I talked about earlier this last winter, and bring you back to that. It's really easier than you might think, and I think it's something that security-minded, privacy-minded patriots need to start really seriously thinking about, starting to move in that direction. Not an abrupt change in your life, but begin exploring that and start taking steps to begin slowly moving toward that. And there, you're not doing it alone. There's resources that are just abundant now. And it's become so much more user-friendly and easy to do that we need to start weaning ourselves off of that security, major security concern that Windows is, and have control over your own computer. And there are ways to do that that are essentially free and easy to do. So I'm going to talk about that in segment three, and then have Lady Liberty on in segment four, and we will move right along. So let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the podcast Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate, the author, and Shelby Gallagher, the author of A Great State, the three-book series. And the podcast to help you take your preps to the next level, focusing on preparedness. So the website there is prepping2-0.com, if you're not already familiar with it, and many of you already are. Okay, first of all, let's jump across the pond. A lot of stuff happening related to the escalation between NATO and Russia. From the Ukraine War Report, the Alliance Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said NATO should continue to provide military assistance to Ukraine, and Finland is responding to Russia saying, "We are ready even for a nuclear attack." Finland and Sweden have declared their readiness to work with Turkey to resolve issues that concern Ankara in connection with their membership in NATO. And Amir Sarfati, on his Telegram channel, posted that the RIA news agency is reporting that the Russian deputy foreign minister said that the Russian response to Finland and Sweden joining NATO depends on what NATO infrastructure will deploy its forces in the two countries if they do join NATO. And of course, it's expected that they will. It was further reported that he added that if NATO deploy nuclear forces closer to Russia's borders, Moscow will respond accordingly. And other reports are saying that they're basically saying they're going to use nukes. Now, in the UK Daily Mail, they basically came right out and said that Russia is threatening to nuke Britain using their Satan 2 missile. It would take about 200 seconds to get there. That's that high-speed missile delivery system. And Finland, they can hit in about 10 seconds. So, yeah, they're basically saying we'll take preemptive measures and use tactical nuclear weapons, and of course that's just everything's just going to explode from there. No pun intended, but the political situation will just actually deteriorate in about 200 seconds. Putin is warning Finland that Finland has made a mistake after the country's president tells him they will join NATO, despite Russia's threat that it could wipe them and Britain out in seconds with nukes. And you can read more about that over at the dailymail.uk. And the Sunday Times came out. I picked this up from Amir Sarfati as well. According to the Times, out of UK, a oligarch close to the Kremlin reportedly in a recorded interview or a phone call saying President Putin is very ill with blood cancer. The unnamed oligarch was recorded discussing Putin's health with a Western venture capitalist in mid-March in a recording obtained by New Lines, a U.S. magazine. So I have no idea if that's has been authenticated or not, but there have been a lot of rumors about him being sick and possibly having cancer. And also, there are rumors at the Times also ran a article saying that there are indicators that a coup is underway to remove Putin. So that could certainly further complicate the whole situation there. All right, now, in the American Redoubt, to bring it right close to home, because there's so much going on in the world, there's absolutely no way to keep up with it all without having a two-hour daily show. We do our level best in a 30-minute morning commute show, Lady Liberty and I, out of Spokane, Washington, on Liberty Broadcasting, which is an American Christian Network affiliate. But there's just so much going on. It's mind-bending. But Idahoans, remember to vote on May 17th. That's Tuesday. That's the primary election. This is where our nation is being broke, is at the primaries. All of the efforts are going. In fact, Antifa, we talked about it on the morning commute. Antifa was busted recruiting people to register as Republicans so that they could vote for the rhino communist collaborator Brad Little in the primaries. They're putting so much money and so much effort into the primaries to oust the Patriots. That's just one example of what they're doing. Patriots can't sit this out. It's sadly, the primary elections are what most Patriots sit out on. This is where we get the lowest voter turnout. Everybody shows up in November. You vote for the guy or gal who has the R next to their name, and you think you've done your patriotic duty, but you refuse to show up during the primaries, and that's where they're putting the leftist rhinos on the ballot because you're not participating. And we know you're not participating because the low voter turnout. So you can't sit this one out. It's just really important. I hammer this every election season. Now, the left is also using all of their scare tactics right now, and they're turning up all their propaganda. The New York Times just ran an article that came out today. Idaho Republican primary is fractured. A fracture in Idaho's GOP as the far right seeks control. So think of that twist. And just the first paragraph of the article says, ahead of a primary vote, traditional Republicans are raising alarm about the future of the party, warning about the growing strength of militia members, racists, and the John Birch Society. Okay, that's as far as I can read the article, because if you want to read more, you have to subscribe, which I am absolutely not going to do, even for their free account for the New York Times. But, and I know there's ways you can archive, internet archive, you can go and read the whole thing somewhere. I didn't feel like digging it up. That's not the point. The point is, just 2 days before Idaho's primaries, they're trying to scare people by saying that ahead of this primary vote, traditional Republicans, what they mean is rhinos, sellouts, they're raising the alarm about the future of the party, warning about the, we could stop right there and just insert patriots. They're warning about patriots getting in. And of course, they throw in the strength of militia members, racists, and the John Birch Society. First of all, militia members happen to be a cornerstone of America's founding. It's part of our heritage. Without militias, there would not have been an America. Matter of fact, the founding fathers who created this most awesome, exceptional nation knew that it was so important. They included militias in the Constitution, stating that an armed, free, armed citizenry is essential for maintaining freedom, for maintaining liberty. It is built into our Constitution. So, not scared about militia members. Racist, meh, of course. They're always going to pull that out because, well, everything's racist now. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4 is racist. So, naturally, they're going to throw that in there. And the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society is actually one of the most awesome organizations in our country that are really making a difference in communities across our nation. The John Birch Society is a communist watchdog that points out elected officials and other organizations that work to undermine our republic. And so they hate the John Birch Society. Their New American Magazine is spot on research, verified research. And so this is, you know, to a patriot, this is nothing. This we're just meh, means nothing. But see, sadly, there's a lot of people that don't know. So basically, they made sure to put militia members and racists and John Birch Society all in the same sentence, right? So they're all essentially the same. John Birch Society and racists and militia members, they're all universally the same in their New York Times article, which who cares what they think? But it's interesting that they're taking such an interest in trying to destabilize a conservative red state. And this is happening all over the country in these conservative free zones where that are largely patriot-held territory. They're doing the same thing in all of the other conservative areas. So this doesn't surprise us. But if you want to know who to vote for, go to Kootenai GOP, K-O-O-T-E-N-A-I. Kootenai, as outsiders often call it, Kootenai. It's pronounced Kootenai. But anyway, it's KootenaiGOP.org, and they have recommended candidates there. Another one takes you to Redoubt News. Go to RedoubtNews.com, and Sherry Duvalli has put up a great article with candidate endorsements there, where she, as the senior editor, personally endorsed these candidates. That's my understanding. I don't know if she's doing this as the senior editor. She is the senior editor, but or if she's just doing this her personal, this is who I am recommending. I'm not sure how that works with campaign laws and whatever. But anyway, awesome lineup of patriots. So if you want to see their faces, their names, and their bios, go to redoubtnews.com and check that out. And vote on May 17th. Share it with your friends who don't know who to vote for. Because in November, it's easy. You vote for the person with the R next to their name, right? Or unless you have a good, solid constitutional party candidate for going for some position or something. But basically, anybody but a communist / Democrat, same thing. They're calling themselves socialist, democratic socialists now, which is just basically a repackaged communist. So, yeah, go check that out at redoubtnews.com. All right, we'll be back in just a minute with segment two. I am going to talk about this mass shooting and other shootings that have taken place in the last 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. And the Democrats aren't going to let any crisis go to waste. I wouldn't be surprised somehow, some way, if this wasn't even some components of this weren't even contrived. But anyway, that's just theory. And we're going to talk about facts and what we know when we come back. Stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Let's go back to its origins. At the end of 1949, the USSR created the GDR, and 4 months later, this new state created the Stasi, with one objective: to keep only one party, the SED, the Socialist Unity Party, in power. It was a Marxist-Leninist party that was to the left of what we call the left today. All communications were monitored. The Stasi read letters and listened to telephone conversations, and special monitoring was reserved for investigating potential dissidents. Their homes were bugged, of course, without any warrants or controls. The citizens of the GDR were completely lacking in basic rights.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt, episode 22-18, going into segment two here, which is brought to you by the great folks over there at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks like you get strategically relocated into the free zones. North Idaho is where they focus on, especially by the Canadian border. Boundary County getting very popular now that Kootenai County and even Bonner counties are getting overran and populated, but Patriots are moving out of the occupied zones. And if that's you and you're looking for that area, then definitely give Selkirk Mountain Real Estate a call. Check out their website. It's the same name, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right, so we are at AMCON 3, AMRON Readiness Communications Readiness Level is AMCON 3. Thank you guys all for training to keep us communicating. Another thing that I saw too on Amir Sarfati's site is in Iran, they're all over the place. In China right now, they've had these people on lockdown for a month at their factory. You couldn't leave the factory. And finally they overran them. And it's a major security issue now, and they've basically a riot. They couldn't keep them contained. They wanted out of that, out of the factory, and back to their lives, back to their homes. But in Iran, the people are rioting and resisting the government because of the high cost of the rapidly high cost of living. And people are starting to get riled up, and now it's turned into full-blown riots. So the Iranian, I want to say Republican Guard or whatever they are, they shut off their internet. They killed the internet to prevent the people from communicating with each other. So something to keep in mind. All right. This has been a rough weekend. A lot of just mayhem. There have been several mass shootings. Of course, the one that right now a lot of people are focused on is the mass shooting in Buffalo, New York. 13 people shot, 10 of them killed, 8 of them black. According to the manifesto, it seemed very, very evident that this 18-year-old kid specifically targeted the place because of the the community's high black population. There was a shooting today in a church in Laguna Woods, California, resulting in 6 shot and 1 killed. I guess 4 or 5 of them are critical condition. There were 3 shot and killed in Milwaukee following a night of violence. Shootings near Milwaukee Bucks playoff game prompted a curfew. The shootings late Saturday and early Sunday came a day after a night of violence in which 21 people were shot and wounded in 3 other attacks near the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee as the Bucks took the Boston Celtics in Game 6 of their NBA playoff series. Good reason to go shoot people up, right? There was a shooting today at a flea market in Texas, left 2 dead, 3 injured. Now, the interesting thing about the shooting in California, as more details have come in, about 30 to 40 members of the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church. They were inside the Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods when a 60-year-old man walked inside and began firing a gun. Now, that group of church growers overpowered him, and they hogtied him with an extension cord until the police arrived. But not before at least five, possibly six people wounded and one dead. They said the gunman, who was described as an Asian American, could be facing hate crime charges. Now, we don't know really any more details. I don't anymore at this time, because the first thing that flashed into my mind is this week, in the last week, of calls for violence against churches and pro-life organizations. And we've seen firebombings take place. We've seen death threats. We've seen just the demoniac influence type of just rage across the country over this leaked, potentially ruling on Roe versus Wade. So that's the first thing that popped into my mind. But here's another interesting element to this. It's a Taiwanese church, and the shooter was an Asian man, 60 years old. Could this be a Chinese, ethnic Chinese, taking out his frustration on, you know, Taiwan, the first Taiwanese that he can get his hands on and try to inflict harm? We don't know. So that's all just speculation, but have no idea whether or not this has any connection to the Roe versus Wade hysteria. But we'll be following that closely. And I know a lot of our listeners here, of course, many of you attend church on a regular basis. And I know many of you are also involved on your church security teams with armed security there at your church. And so this is on the back of the minds of a lot of you in the listening audience, whether you're on a church security team or not. But man, this is the time more than ever to be vigilant. But with all of this, it's in Chicago. Chicago PD says from their weekend report, their weekend violence report, 30 people shot, 5 fatally in weekend violence. Now, this is happening every weekend, almost every weekend in Chicago. Those types of numbers. It's just unbelievable. But we see this where was this? Was the Gateway, no, not the Gateway Pundit, the Liberty Daily. Dear Biden, dear leader Biden, who never visited Waukesha, is already heading to Buffalo to bask in the optics of manipulated news. Corporate media is busying itself building the false narrative that the Buffalo mass murderer, who was a former communist and avowed green ethno-nationalist fascist socialist, was actually a Republican influenced by Tucker Carlson and Fox News. This is blatantly false, of course, but they say if you repeat a lie often enough. So, Rolling Stone. The Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf. He's a mainstream Republican. That's what the Rolling Stone posted on their Twitter account. So, as it turns out, yeah, the kid said that he was a communist, and then he started kind of shifting his views more toward the right. That doesn't mean right wing, because you can't get any farther left wing than communist. But he started kind of drifting away toward communism. He started looking at these alternate internet sites about racism and Jews and blacks and, you know, the white people are being overtaken and, you know, something should be done. And I guess he got radicalized there on some 4chan channel, which is on the dark net. And it's interesting, though, that Biden is going to run to Buffalo to grieve with the community there when he hasn't gone to the border. He hasn't gone to Chicago. He didn't go to Waukesha. This is all politically motivated theater. That's all it is. It's theatrics. And it's sad because it's sad that, lives were lost in Buffalo. It's also sad that, lives are lost every weekend in Chicago under that Democrat-ran city. Many more lives are lost along our southern border. So this is just, it's just disgusting, actually. If you guys remember back in Waukesha, the Christmas parade attack on November 21st, and this is where a black man deliberately plowed through a crowd of people watching a Christmas parade because he hates whites so badly. Killed 6 people and injured 62 others, many of them still multiple surgeries, still recovering, damaged and broken for the rest of their lives. 62 people. No visit, no word. So anyway, this go back to the shooter in Buffalo, Dirtbag. We're not going to use his name. None of these people deserve to have their names mentioned. This is Dirtbag 1256. What we do know about this shooter, he is not a Republican. Despite what the left-wing propagandists are trying to spin, I mean, when minutes, when the bodies were still warm, they're out there saying, this is not a lone wolf attack. This is a normal, typical Republican. But this shooter, Dirtbag 1256, is not a Republican. He's not a Trumper. He's not a patriot. He's not a Fox News or Tucker Carlson follower. PJ Media reported that first, despite the coordinated effort to blame Fox News, the manifesto attacks a number of news networks, including Fox, for hiring Jews. He's clearly a white supremacist. The author identifies himself as a white supremacist. In the alleged manifesto, it includes statements such as, conservatism is corporatism in disguise. I want no part of it. He also wrote, allegedly, when I was 12, I was deep into communist ideology. Talk to anyone from my old high school and ask about me, and you will hear that. From age 15 to 18, however, I consistently moved farther to the right. On the political compass, I fall in the mild, moderate, authoritarian left category, which that sounds about right. I would prefer to be called a populist. Well, there's nothing populist about your views. But this is where things get really interesting. On the Ukraine War Report channel that I follow, they posted something very interesting that this leads into. This is from creativedestructionmedia.com. Buffalo shooter references Ukrainian Azov battalion Nazi symbols. He hated those opposing the U.S. involvement in Ukraine conflict, and this story is developing, they write. So listen to this. The Buffalo shooter published a manifesto which showed support for the same symbols used by the Nazi Azov battalion in Ukraine. He also, and by the way, the Ukrainian government and military is chock full of Nazis. Full-blown, authentic Nazis, like World War II Nazi Party type Nazis. And it's not a social club. It is a core belief. It is an ideology that they are committed to. The Buffalo shooter published a manifesto which showed support for the same symbols used by the Nazi Azov battalion in Ukraine and hatred for those who are against U.S. military involvement in the Ukraine conflict. In other words, he supported the globalist agenda in Ukraine and showed sympathy for Nazi elements in the country. He also expressed hatred for Fox News, which is opposite what mainstream reporting is putting out. So, this is what I discovered when I was reviewing the latest updates from the Ukraine War Report. There's a picture of this shooter, dirtbag, with his body armor on and the exact same symbol, the Nazi symbol, the black sun symbol that the Azov battalion and a lot of Nazis wear in Ukraine. They also posted the video that this creepazoid was live streaming. And it shows about the first minute and a half of this assault and gunning people down. And it's gut-wrenching. But archived is this from the Business Insider, which they also included on the Ukraine War Report. And so I grabbed this and downloaded it. And I grabbed this website from the Business Insider. This is an article titled, "Russia Could Strike Back at the West by Calling on Its Network of White Supremacist Groups to Commit Terror Attacks There," analysts warn. Now, these analysts were interviewed. The article was put together and published yesterday. It was published, it says 3:38 a.m., May 14th. Now, I don't know what time zone that's in compared to Buffalo, New York, which is Eastern time zone, which took place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This article was published approximately 12 hours prior to this shooting in Buffalo, if they're the same in the same time zone where this is published versus where the event took place. 3:38 a.m., the attack took place at 3. He was allegedly planning to carry out his shooting attack on this grocery store at 4. For some reason, he shifted it up to 3 p.m. So this is, I'm going to share some of this with you. As Russia's Ukraine invasion stalls, the Kremlin could call on militant groups to foment violence in the West, experts warn. A former U.S. intelligence official warned of a likely bid by Russia to stir political violence. Two Russian groups currently fighting in Ukraine have ties to far-right groups in the U.S. and Western Europe. A steady supply of Western weapons has enabled Ukraine's outnumbered military to hold back Russian forces and inflict thousands of casualties during this ongoing war. But experts are increasingly concerned that as Russia's invasion stalls, the Kremlin could choose to retaliate against the West, not just through economic and diplomatic means, but also by inciting violent attacks at the heart of the NATO alliance in those countries. The tool it could seek to exploit is a network of neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups in Russia, Western Europe, and the U.S., with which it has cultivated ties for decades. And this is what this Chris Chivez said. He served as the National Security Council's intelligence officer for Europe from 2018 to 2021. So this is during the Trump presidency and then into the Biden regime. I don't know how far into 2021 he served, but he says they've done that before in much of Europe, and I would not be surprised if they're doing that today, trying to get their intelligence services at the right moment to get these groups agitated. He warned of a likely effort to stir political unrest, political violence, and to get these groups agitated to achieve political effects in countries in Europe and possibly the United States. Once again, I'm reminding you that I'm reading you an article that was posted at 3:30 in the morning, 12 hours prior to this neo-Nazi, Ukrainian sympathizer in the United States carrying out his attack. Is there a connection? We don't know, but this is uncanny, the timing of this article warning of neo-Nazi attacks inspired by Russia to foment violence and stir up unrest in Europe and the United States. So, some of my friends say there are no consequences, or there are no coincidences, I should say. There are absolutely, yeah. So, before I slip into a Biden moment here, let me move on. Okay. If you want to read this article for yourself, it's businessinsider.com. Russia could retaliate. Just put that in your DuckDuckGo search or Brave search and look up businessinsider.com. Russia could retaliate. And this was just posted, I mean, May 14th, so yesterday. Let me continue on with this here. The ultimate end game is they maintain these relationships because one day they might have to cash in their chips, describing the potential of a pro-Russian terror attack committed by an American as our worst-case scenario realized. He raised the prospect of the psychological impact that could be caused by a neo-Nazi guy in Virginia launching an attack at the behest of the Russians and was maybe paid to do it or trained by them. That's a big deal, he said. That's a really big deal. Interesting, as Lady Liberty and I watched this video of him initiating his attack, the first thing Lady Liberty said is, he's trained. This is not just some kid who went and bought an AR-15. He's trained. Of course, what does that mean? It could be, you know, airsoft. You can really develop some sound tactics using, you know, airsoft and other training aids, I guess, and really develop, like I said, some solid tactics. So, or was it actual more formalized, institutionalized training? Who knows? We may never know. But it really struck me as I stumbled across this and I saw the symbology of what this shooter had on his own vest here in the United States. It wasn't Virginia, it was New York. This analyst is saying, you know, the thought of just some American carrying out a terrorist attack. Now look at the fallout that this is causing, along with four other mass shootings this weekend. Some of them are shootings, like mass shootings, like a rampage. Some are shootouts between criminal elements, or in the case with the flea market in Texas, this was a confrontation that continued to just grow until somebody went and got it. There was two guns involved in that one. These guys are in their 20s. They're at a flea market. There was some type of confrontation that just elevated to the point where gunfire resulted and two people were killed. But the communists, the anti-Americanists, are taking full advantage of all of this. Now it's the talk for, we need to stop racism. We need to stop gun violence. We need to get guns off the streets. Gun measures are necessary. It's all about the guns. The gun shot somebody today. But there could be something deeper here between church shootings potentially being a trend with this call for violence and action against churches and pro-life organizations. That's one spoke on this wheel. And the other one is this neo-Nazi inspired by Eastern European influences, whether it's Ukraine or Russia, and what they've developed in the way of neo-Nazi white supremacist operators, really. So just be something to be watchful of and aware of. Don't let them pin this on you, patriots. This has nothing to do with Republicans or Fox News or Trump supporters or anything else. Just something definitely much more darker and sinister behind all of this. So I want to leave you with that. This is the longest segment in tonight's show. I'll be right back to talk about this Windows video, Windows 11 warning, and then some alternatives for you guys, and then have Lady Liberty on right after that. So stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Hi,
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Welcome to segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. Hopefully you guys are having a great evening and you're enjoying this stuff. Segment three is brought to you by TLC Web Hosting. They provide web hosting services right here in the American Redoubt. Christian patriot-owned business. They've taken great care of us for a long time. And they take care of hundreds of websites. You don't have to worry about being canceled or censored because, oh, you're too conservative, too Christian, or too whatever, too pro-life, who knows? You don't have to worry about that with these guys. The website is tlcwebhosting.com. And man, I'm tired. I can feel it. Probably sound like it too. But it's a good tired. It's a good, like, you've been out in the hills doing comms, mobile comms. Is really cool. It was a really packed weekend. So yeah, I'm whooped. But anyway, this weekend, something started making its rounds. A video saying, warning, that Windows 11 must be stopped. You will not own your computer. You will not have control over everything. They're going to be spying on everything. It's going to send everything home to you. Everything that you do, it's going to send everything home back to Microsoft and so on. Now, some of this is alarmism that a lot of people that actually work in, you know, computer maintenance, computer software development and programming, things like that say, yeah, there's a lot of, if you're security minded, there's a lot of stuff that Windows does that you don't want on there. And now, it's legitimate. First of all, I can't stand Windows. I mean, I like it as an operating system. I mean, because most of us grew up with Windows and you learn how to whip around on the thing. And you know, Windows 7 was awesome. They should have just stopped right there as far as I'm concerned. But they started adding more and more. Windows 10 is just a big giant piece of spyware. Windows 11 is reportedly even way worse. Where they have access to everything. They have access to so much there that you don't want them to. There's also so much that's proprietary, you don't know what they're doing behind that curtain. And so just for that reason alone, it's a good reason to start, cutting that umbilical cord. There's one commenter on this website. If you want to go watch the video, it's embedded at audioscienceReview.com, and you can just do a internet search for Audio Science Review and then type in Windows 11 must be stopped. That's the title of the YouTube video that they embedded in here in their forum for their discussion. And there's mixed responses. There's one guy that writes, this is a lot of paranoid nonsense. You do own your PC. You just agree to certain features if you buy one with Windows on it, just like any other product. And most of his insinuations just aren't true. Pro tip. Also, don't watch YouTube videos with conspiratorial sounding titles. Right. Well, first of all, just because it's a conspiratorial sounding title doesn't mean it's not a conspiracy. And it doesn't mean it's a theory. It could be a fact. There are a lot of conspiracies that are facts. It is a fact. And Microsoft says that they have all of this data that your computer sends to them to help you have a better experience. They don't say they don't do it. They're just saying, we're not going to violate your, we're not going to sell your stuff. We're just, we're doing this for your own benefit. So I lean, the second point I want to make, I can't stand Bill Gates. And I don't want to feed that machine, that monster, if I absolutely don't have to. Now, I do have a Windows operating system. I have a Windows 7. They're not making any money off of me on that. I have a Windows 10 that I use just for programs. I have some radio software programs that I use for, you know, programming various different radios. I have some ham radio software that is only available for Windows. The developers have no interest, they have no desire, and they're not going to make their program also work on Mac or Linux. They're like, this is all the work we did. This is all we're going to do. We're going to maintain this on Windows. And if you don't want to, if you don't have a Windows, you can't use it. So I do have it for that purpose, but I also have gone into the firewall settings and adjusted all the security. You can do internet searches to block all that stuff, the reporting and automatically connecting and so on. So I did that with this, and I don't do anything on it that I don't care. I mean, it's ham radio software. It's stuff that's right out in the open. If I'm doing a podcast on my Windows 7, I don't care if they have access to my podcast and they can see it and share it, because it's intended to be in the public. So I just don't do anything private, secure. I'm not going to do any banking. I'm not going to do anything that I don't want other people to have access to on a Windows computer. I do that on Linux, and I have encryption programs and software encryption software. And, I can encrypt folders. So if I have medical files, or if I have, banking or finance, anything like that, then it can be secure. I don't want to support Microsoft. I try to encourage everybody not to support Microsoft. I don't want to give them a dime. I do absolute minimal what I have to function, but all of my heavy lifting is done on Linux operating systems. And this is what I want to encourage you guys to do. Please consider this. And I've talked about this in the 2021 security series. I think there were 11 postings with videos, and each of those editions, 1 through 11, focused on a specific aspect of security, online internet security or computer security or encryption, password storing. And so it was number 11. No, it was, let's see, in part 11 of Radio Free Redoubt 2021 series are the resources that you'll need to get started with the Linux Mint Cinnamon. Linux Mint is an operating system that is free. And using Linux Mint does not equal a secure computer, but you'll find that those who take computer security seriously will more than likely and increasingly be using a Linux operating system, because you have a lot more control over what programs are on there and the updates, your spyware, all of your malicious software is all blocked by the Linux developers, and you keep this maintained and updated, connected to the internet, and it maintains patches security holes, and it's free. It's just developed by developers from around the world that collaborate on this. So it frees you from, I'm just going to this article that I have at Radio Free Redoubt that I want to direct you to. It's the security series part 9. I think that's mislabeled. I think it's actually part 11, but anyway, you'll go to Radio Free Redoubt and scroll down until you find the security series. And this was in November. November 10th is when I posted the Linux Mint Live system setup. That's right. That's the live system. So you operate it off of a thumb drive. But in part 11, those are the resources you'll need to get started with Linux Mint. And what I use is Cinnamon, Linux Mint Cinnamon, which is just the way the desktop is laid out. It's what you're, it's just how it looks, right? It's the wrapping on your operating system. But anyway, it frees you from increasingly invasive Windows operating systems. It gives you more control over what your computer will and will not do, and you download and run only programs you want. It's like a, like, you know, an Android phone is like continuously Google stuff, you know, jumping up in front of your face. It's absolutely annoying. Linux is inherently more secure if you keep it updated, as its antivirus, anti-spyware, and other security updates are included. It uses open source software in the operating system, so it's not proprietary like Windows or Mac or Apple, where you can't see what's going on behind the curtain and what's being done in your computer, added to it or downloaded or anything like that. This means that unlike Windows or Mac operating systems, which are proprietary and cannot as easily be inspected for spyware, malware, etc., nefarious code can be discovered by the code geeks in the Linux community, and they keep that stuff updated so that it's not there. Also, Linux is free and open source operating system. The software programs are also free and open source. Software programs are now available for Linux, give you access to software that functions the same or very similar to the software programs you're accustomed to in your daily computer activities. So if you go to this article, there are a ton of resources, including YouTube videos, to walk you through step by step. And if this is new to you and you say, you know, I keep hearing about Linux, I want to explore it, but man, everything I have is on Windows, and you know, I can't just like throw my Windows out the window and just start up with Linux. I have no idea. I've never operated it before. I don't know what I'm doing with it. Then you can operate on a live operating system to become familiar with it, navigate your way around. But this is what I did. The first time I had a Linux operating system, I picked up a Windows 10 computer, 8 gigs of RAM. It had everything that I needed from a pawn shop. I picked it up from a pawn shop for under $200. I think like a 14 or 15 inch screen, and you download the Linux Mint operating system onto a thumb drive and you fire it up. And then that gives you the option. There's an option in there, and this is all included in the instructions, on how to overwrite the hard drive that's on there, and it will install the Linux operating system. So keep your Windows, do what you do every day anyway, and pick up a second one. And this is a transition. Okay. It's not just a hard, snap your neck, disrupt your life, upend everything. This is the beginning process of freedom and increased security. So I recommend picking up unless you have a spare laptop that you never really use, but I went to a pawn shop and I found a nice Windows 10 laptop. I downloaded the operating system onto a thumb drive. I followed all their instructions. I chose the option to overwrite the disk. It wipes out Windows. Gone forever, not recoverable. It's gone. And it overwrites and installs the Linux operating system. Then I started just over time watching YouTube videos, talking to other people on the forum. The Amron Core guys are great because just about everybody there uses at least one Linux machine, and helping each other out. So then, well, eventually, I was probably within a year, I'm doing 95% of everything that I do and everything I pretty much do on a daily basis on a Linux operating system. And I never looked back. My main ham radio laptop is a Linux operating system. It's free. It's easy to download all the software that you need. And much of the software that you're already familiar with, especially for ham radio. Almost all of it is made for Linux as well, with just a few exceptions. So anyway, I'm going to close this segment out and point you to that article at radiofreeredoubt.com and scroll down till you find the security series. And there are a couple postings there that specifically talk about setting up a Linux operating system. And it's something that you do not need to be afraid of, and something that I am a strong proponent of, that you start exploring that and start cutting yourself free from at least Windows. So, all right. Well, let's take a break. Come back with segment four. Wrap things up, Lady Liberty, right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. So stick around.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh.
One podcast dares to be different.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt, segment four here. The final segment. Got Lady Liberty in the studio, taking her seat and ready to go. How are you doing this evening, Lady Liberty?
Excellent. How about you?
Doing good. I was just saying that earlier in the last segment. It's like, man, I'm tired. It's been a packed weekend.
Yep. And a late evening.
Yes.
So we're catching up a little bit late on the draw, but that's what happens lately. Yep. with so much to do, so much to keep up with. And it seems to not be looking like it's going to let up anytime soon either.
No. It's just accelerating really at an exponential rate. So,
yep, that's right. And we're hearing that across the board. We're hearing an awful lot of Christian patriots saying, hang on till the end, right? You may be tired, you may be worn out, but it's important to run the race till the end.
So, that's right. Fight the fight all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's right.
To the finish line.
Yep.
So what do you have for us this evening? We've been covering a lot of stuff in the morning commute every morning. And I know there's stuff going on with Trevor Loudon, with the voting,
There is. And that was kind of one of the problems that I was having, was which one is more important, right? You know, there's so much. The flood is on, right? You know, I mean, the Lord's certainly not going to flood the world again with water, but the flood of trying to keep up with all this information and latest happenings is certainly on.
Yeah.
And especially with everything that has happened over the weekend with all of the shootings, the rioting happening in Chicago in mass force. And so where do you even start, right? Well, so I just chose the topic of what's going on in Wisconsin, where Senator Ron Johnson said to the Attorney General Garland, why is the Wisconsin pro-life center attack not domestic terrorism?
Right.
And so, you know, clearly the nation is under an attack by all of these communist revolutionaries, you know, and insurrectionists. And just depending on who actually is the one that told them to do that, like what you were reporting earlier, was that it was a Russian... impetus saying that, you know, they were going to conduct attacks in America through our own people, right?
Right.
And so I don't know if that really matches up. You know, I mean, like you and I have said before, the people that are funding all of Black Lives Matter is Soros, Hillary, and, you know, I mean, even Hillary's staff is the one that is, across the whole world now, is the one that is more or less in control of Black Lives Matter. And so, so, you know, when we're seeing that happen here, and we already know that Hillary hates Russia anyway, wouldn't it be perfect for her to be coordinating, or her and Soros and Les Schwab to be coordinating all of this stuff together through Black Lives Matter or Antifa, and then, of course, putting the blame on Russia. That's what they do. That is their MO. You know, if you ask them, what do we do? They'd say, we blame Russia. We just, that's what we do.
Well, yeah, it's all the Russians. Russians are going to be behind everything.
That's right.
And you know, could it be, and this is one of my thoughts, is that could this also be another Russian collusion scam?
Right.
Trying to put, the Russians are behind. Now they're trying to get the neo-Nazis to attack.
Right. And see,
but
that is...
they are connected to them. This is a really strange, this is a dichotomy.
Right.
Really. Because would Russia be motivating a neo-Nazi who's pro-Ukrainian, right?
Here comes the knot, right?
But right. And so I'm playing this out. Or just like a lot of Antifa, could this kid just be getting played? I mean, getting, like, could it be something where the Russians influence neo-Nazis that they love Ukraine, right? But they're being manipulated because Russians have been known for that for decades. But of course, look at the regime that we have in the United States now.
Right.
They are playing right out of communist disinformatia playbook.
Right. And look who has been pushing them in America this whole time for the past, 2-3 years now.
Right.
Look who's been pushing them and funding them. It's George Soros. It's the CCP. It's Hillary
Clinton. World Economic Forum.
Yep.
It's Klaus Schwab, by the way.
Klaus Schwab. And what did I call him?
Les Schwab.
Oh, gosh.
Your local tire center.
Black tires matter, you know. Right. sorry for that, but I would have to say that you shall know them by their fruits, right? How do you get to the bottom of a lie? You watch what they do. And so if I was to look at what they do, I'd have to say, first of all, one, they blame Russia for everything. If your toilet backs up, it's Russia's fault,
right?
You know, and so number two, who has funded them throughout the history of Black Lives Matter that has been attacking the United States for the past couple of years, right?
Yeah.
It's always been the same people. And so I would have to say that those two right there implicate them again as to who's really pushing this. And of course, somehow somebody's going to blame it on Russia.
And there is a component here because this is not something that's outside the realm of what Russia is capable of. And this is, what am I trying to say here? It's taken the eyes off of Antifa, right?
Right.
The communist revolutionaries.
Yep.
And here's the other thing too. This is where my thought train was trying to go. Putin is not necessarily at war with Ukraine.
Right.
Although it's kinetic, right? There is a war in Ukraine, obviously, in this Russia. But the higher war is against NATO.
Yep.
It's the globalists,
right.
Communist, Marxist globalists who have now taken control of all of the countries that are NATO.
Right.
Now, this is why I was saying this is not your grandfather's NATO. This is completely taken over by globalists that are pushing for World
NATO.
War III.
Yep.
Yeah, sadly, sad to say, because I've always been, you know, yeah, go NATO, right?
It's from
our childhood, it's been us against the Soviet Union and the communists. But now they've successfully infiltrated the Western nations, gotten in positions of power, and now they've got the dog whistle for the troops, right?
Right.
And
well,
so Russia could, this is plausible only because Russia doesn't care if some kid that's a neo-Nazi is pro-Ukrainian. The point is to create chaos, create political strife, create race riots now over this. The call for disarming the citizenry now in America through these shootings, something must be done. Guns right. are killing. And so Putin doesn't care if an individual kid carries out at fourth, fifth generational warfare now.
Right.
We're adding components to warfare that have never been added before, like something like this.
Right. The only problem that I see with that potential problem would be that then Putin would be the Johnny come lately, because they've already been doing that same exact format for the past several years. And it's small enough scale that it indicates who's pushing it, right? You know, I would expect that if Russia truly wanted to slam America, they would have a way bigger plan than that, you know, than distinct little targets here and there that are only going to spike more racism. I mean, that is what has been happening and is totally characteristic with everything they've done so far. And so I would just have to say that would be the only thing that, I mean, really, why would they even bother with something like that? If they're going to go, they're probably going to go big, right? And so these small potatoes is exactly characteristic of what they have done in the past already. And the fact that...
They, you mean the globalists.
Meaning the globalists in the United States.
Right.
You know, the whole, everybody, Hillary, Pelosi, Biden, all of them, they are not us. We are not them. They are the enemy.
They're not Americans.
And this is what they're doing is designed to bring the United States down. They are yes. the infiltrators that have caused a communist coup in our last election. And people keep referring to them in error as the Biden administration, as if they had won the election legally.
Right.
And they haven't. And so there's another thing about Russia being the one that would be behind this that I would have to question, you know, simply because this whole disarming thing, right?
Yeah.
What would Russia get out of that? That has been the mantra for the United Nations, which is the globalists,
yes.
right? That has been the mantra, the UN mantra, since 1945. And I mean, I've documented that very well in my book. The three goals from the UN are food control, guns and weapons control, population control.
Yep.
In fact, the UN building has a huge statue outside of their free building that we're letting them use on American soil. And this statue is a gun with the barrel tied in a knot.
Right.
They don't need an incident to call for gun control. They have always called for gun control.
Right.
Always, whether there's a shooting or not. And so just the fact that they're doing that again, you know, it's just they're trying to do same old, up the ante and quick jump. Let's see if we can get this gun control passed this time, right?
Well, yeah, but it would also... The dynamics of this really takes things up another level, because now it's about when are whites going to start getting hunted in retaliation?
Right.
You know, fed by the globalists in power here, that, you know, they're just going to, the social media, the Antifa, there's just the whole, all of the rhetoric that's going to lead to more destabilization. That could be the goal, knowing that they're going to say, you know what? We just can't stand for any more lives to be lost. We're just taking the guns, you know, to heck with the Constitution. This is an emergency, because we learned from COVID, you can suspend the Constitution because it's an emergency. And then the fight's on. Then you descend quickly into a civil war, which destabilizes the United States, takes them out of the picture as far as a force that Russia would have to deal with. If he can make it implode on itself through social unrest...
Right.
You know,
and strategically, we're also watching the United Nations at serious odds with the Russia-China partnership.
Right.
Right. Because they are the only two that, with Trump being taken out of the picture, they're the only two standing in opposition of the United Nations and their New World Order. and the fact that they have the ability to circumvent everything that the United Nations has done,
yes,
right?
Through veto power.
Yeah. And so the fact that, you know, if Russia was actually the one to blame here, and you know, you have to remember, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? And so Russia has nothing to do with all the UN programs, all the climate change garbage,
right?
All of the
they want
bunk,
no part of it,
right? And they would have none of the gay agenda that the president, who shall not be named, was pushing on them so hard.
Right.
They said absolutely not in Russia.
Yeah, the forced Islamification.
Yes,
of, you know, all of the whole agenda.
Right, yeah. And so you know when we're seeing Russia actually pairing up with Trump's policies, saying no UN, no Paris Climate Accords. I mean, that's why they were getting along so well, because both of them opposed the United Nations and their globalist agenda. And
right.
So both of them being against them made a strong alliance, even without saying anything.
Right.
You know, it was just the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And therefore, if the UN is our enemy, and both Russia and the United States under Trump just absolutely would have nothing to do with them, then of course it works out that way. So I would think strategically, if I were Putin and I wanted to do something to get rid of the globalists, I would actually do something to help Trump get back into office. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, that would get rid of the globalists in a heartbeat. And so, you know, I don't see that happening. I don't see any indication that that would be happening.
Right.
But I think that, you know, strategically, there's way, way more effective things that Putin could be doing if he truly wanted to get back at the globalists here in America.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's...
This is a great discussion, though. I mean, this right here, what we're discussing in segment four, people that are listening, their own wheels are turning right now.
Well, I hope
so. And shooting off of what we're saying is almost like a jump off board for their own thoughts and processing all of this.
Right.
So, you know, and they'll think about this throughout the day and discuss it with their friends or family that are like-minded, that are trying to make sense of all of this and, you know, put the pieces together. And we don't have all the pieces. We can't see all the pieces.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have to have all the puzzle pieces to start for the image to begin to take shape.
Right. And the good thing about all of this is that, like we had mentioned before, God is afoot and the truth is coming out whether the left likes it or not.
Absolutely.
I think it has to do with the revival that happened earlier this year in January through Sidney Powell's big effort, and how it reached millions of, not people, but churches, millions of churches around the whole globe. And the whole globe
right.
was praying in repentance for the United States. And it very well could be that that is what is causing the turn in the tide, where we're seeing, you know, the truth being revealed against them, you know, and whether
yes.
they are masters at hiding the truth or not, they're not able to contain it. And we're watching,
right.
especially with the 2000 Mules release, and now Trevor Loudon's jumping on board to expose all of the socialism and communisms.
International connections to the election.
That's right.
Meddling.
Which also backs up everything that Sidney Powell has brought up with,
yes.
with court cases and fighting at the court level. And so I just have to say that I think that we're going to watch this tide turn, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. And on top of that, now Hunter Biden's, all the emails, the 12,000 email or however, I don't have it in front of me, just got dumped on the internet. So now
right.
all the media is, you know, pouring through it right now. And it's going to be really interesting to see what comes. That's going to expose
everything.
Corruption. Yeah.
Yep.
So like you said, all of these things that they've been trying to hide are being exposed. Even if Biden can stand up there in a press release and say, you know, the economy is going great, we've added more jobs than, you know, than decades, and just lie, straight up lie, and tell everybody the sky is green. Everybody, the sky is green.
Right.
And just lie to the American people, they don't get it. The other ones, your legacy media and others, they don't care if it's a lie. They just hate Trump. Just, they don't care just as long as Trump's not in.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that the two things, the tide is turning and their lies are being exposed. Their disinformation is falling flat.
Right.
It's not having their hoped for intent. And secondly, God is afoot. There are a lot of things that are happening supernaturally that as we go headlong into this season that we are diving into head first, that we're going to see some things that are going to just blow people's minds.
Well, absolutely. And you can also bet that the left is freaking out over Elon Musk taking over Twitter. And Elizabeth Warren has already stated that they have to be able to limit free speech. She has recently just said that, and saying because, frankly, it's dangerous.
Right.
Oh, wow. Imagine that. Jeez. Yeah, that's American, right?
Right.
Oh, that's what we've always said. Yeah. Truth is dangerous and free speech is dangerous. I'd say, give her the boot.
It is dangerous to a tyrant.
It is. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yep. For
and
sure.
It should be. So, well, we got to wrap things up. Did you have anything else, parting shots you wanted to leave the listeners with?
Well, no, just that it's looking good. It's looking good on our side right now, and it's unfolding. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God, because He is truth. He is truth.
If you guys haven't seen the documentary 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza, you owe it to yourself to watch it. You can go to 2000mules.com. And click on Locals, the tab Locals, and watch that right there, the full length.
That's right. I mean, it's almost at the point where, like, next month we're just going to walk right in there, walk Trump back into his office, give him his seat back. And I mean, they can't even refute it anymore.
And what that documentary reveals is just a sliver of the entire picture of the fraud. They didn't even touch the machines yet, right? And so there's so much to this. Trevor Loudon's adding more to it.
That's right.
Too. So
that's right.
Yeah. Be listening to us on the daily, each day on the morning commute. We'll be covering this stuff.
Yes. And we'll be packing 2 or 3 hours worth into a half hour. So you can listen over and over and over.
You'll have to listen to this. A lot of listeners like, I listen to like 3 times a day because I just take so many notes and good stuff. All right, well, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. You want to say goodbye to our listeners?
Yep, that's right. We appreciate all of you so much, and we want to just be the watchman on the wall for all of you, and be pulling the truth together in the best way we know how. So praise God for that.
Absolutely, and thank you for all of you other watchmen out there that share information and things and research that you come across and share it with us. It's a team effort. So, all right. Well, with that, I'll let you guys go. You have a blessed week. You be safe out there. Keep your powder dry. Keep your head on a swivel. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving, ultra-patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.